It's good to keep Christ in Christmas, isn't it? So many do not. Brother Chuck Roberts was showing me the card they're sending out from their school to other schools and other workers rather than the school system. He's a principal over in Mansfield, and it has something about Christ on there. And I think that's great. Let's keep Christ in Christmas and remember what it is. Well, take your Bibles, please. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. Chapter 3 and verse 13. Just one verse tonight. We'll finish up a series on getting rid of emotional baggage. Getting rid of emotional baggage. We've talked about some of the different problems, guilt, inferiority complex, a number of different things. But tonight I want to talk to you just a little bit about spiritual burnout. That Christmas season might be a good time to preach this message. Spiritual burnout. A lot of times it's because we're trying to be too perfect and trying to win God over to us and trying to somehow achieve getting His love. Let me tell you something right now at the beginning of this message. God loves you. You don't have to worry about that. If He gave His best, His Son, to die for you on the cross, you can rest assured that He loves you. And there may be times when we break fellowship with Him. We never lose our salvation. But there's never a time that God does not love us. And sometimes we get tired and frustrated. And sometimes we're trying to please men. We're trying to please our peers. We're trying to keep up with other folks and relatives. We are trying to earn our respect. Some of it is centered around pride as much as anything else when we're trying to do that. And if we're not careful, our motivation will be wrong and we'll have spiritual burnout. And we'll get weary in well-doing. But the Scripture says in verse 13, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Don't get weary in well-doing. We're all tempted to do that. But I want to give you just a few principles that are related to burnout. You may want to jot some of these down if you're a note taker. One of them is mental and emotional burnout cannot be remedied unless you deal with physical burnout. They are associated. Your physical condition is associated with your emotional and spiritual condition. Mental and emotional burnout cannot be remedied unless you deal with physical burnout. I believe that there are a lot of people, for whatever their reason, some of which I've already mentioned, and in Christian work also, that push themselves to a degree that God has not intended them to push themselves. Somehow, some way, they believe God's going to like them a little better. And I'm not, I don't believe anybody ought to be lazy. And I believe we ought to work hard and do our best. But I think at the same time, we must understand that if we push ourselves and exhaust ourselves, and we do not rest like God would have us to rest, we could get into some problems. Good nutrition and good rest is not a bad thing. And you know, your body is the temple of Christ. Sometimes we forget that. We push and push and push, and we're so conscious of the world going to hell, and that's good, that's all right, but we push ourselves maybe sometimes to think that we're the only ones that are going to get anybody saved. We've got to remember God's in this thing. God has to give the increase. And God has to do His work. I remember going to a doctor when I was a seminary student and a couple of years ago. And when I went to him, I was pushing a heavy schedule. I'm not sure exactly where I was working that time, but I know there was a time I was working 12 hours all night, from 6 to 6:30, and just taking a quick bath and rushing to class. Had to be in class at 7, got out of class at 12 o'clock. And then had to do homework and all that stuff and reading assignments. And you that have been there in college and seminary, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I thought, I'm going to remedy this problem. I was having a difficult time. In fact, one time, Brother Harris, you'll appreciate this. I fell asleep in Dr. Oldham's class. He's the president of the college, and he was teaching a course. And whenever he told the person by me to wake me up, she nudged me. It wasn't Carolyn at that time. Anyway, she nudged me, and she said, you need to wake up. I said, Dr. Oldham is talking to you. He said, wake up. And I said, leave me alone. I don't care. He had went right back down on the desk, and I was so tired, exhausted, man. A lot of you have been there. So I thought, I'll go to the doctor, and the doctor can give me something to keep me awake. That'll help. And I never will forget this doctor. He had a face like a sort of like a bulldog, like old Dr. John R. Rice. Some of you that knew him, well, Dr. Rice dropped those. Well, this doctor reminded me of him, and he said, young man, I said, are you studying for the ministry? I said, yes, sir, I am. And I was only about 19 then. And he said, wouldn't you be preaching to me that your body's the temple of Christ? And I said, yes, I would. He said, and you want me to give you something to help destroy your body? He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, change your lifestyle, change your schedule, do what you got to do. You're going to kill yourself, young man. And I did part of that. But it was a reprimand from me, from a medical doctor, to tell me, to remind me that my body was a temple of Christ. And I don't think that's all bad to remember sometimes. Especially if you're a melancholy perfectionist or a workaholic, or you feel like you've got to achieve in order to get your worthiness. If you find your worthiness in your fame and fortune, friend, you'll never be happy. I saw a sign today about a house, $750,000. And I looked off to my left, a bunch of them over on the hill there, and I thought, man, that'd be a $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 payment a month. And I looked over some of those houses over there, and I said, you know what? Would I be any happier if I was there? And I said to myself, no. We think we might be, but we probably wouldn't be. I know some of you are thinking, well, try me. Let me see. Anyway, give me a chance. But if I had a payment like that, I know I couldn't be happy. Even if I had the money around, I don't think I'd be happy with that. But I guess some folks can do that. But I'm just saying we need to be careful about all of that. Secondly, we have to hurry. Physical burnout directly affects the mind and emotions. Anything that affects your mind and your emotions is going to affect you spiritually sooner or later. A woman came to her pastor, and she was just complaining. She said, I'm just feeling tired and just burnt out and tired all the time. I'm just wore out. I'm just tired all the time. And the pastor asked her, do you read your Bible? Do you pray regularly and read your Bible regularly? She said, no, I just don't have time. I'm just too tired. I don't have time to do that. And now the pastor said to her, that's probably part of your problem. And wouldn't you think it would be part of the problem if we get so busy? And I'll tell you, if I can't have my prayer time, my wife can tell you I'm miserable. And sometimes I get in a predicament and it seems like I go off very seldom, but every once in a while I go a long time all day just about, and it'll dawn on me. Maybe I have to get up at 5 and get down to the hospital by 6 o'clock and intend to come back to my office and pray and then get some phone calls and emergencies come up and all of that. But I'll tell you, I miss it. I miss it when I can't do it. And I have a busy schedule. I'm not crying the blues. I have a busy schedule. Stay busy. Preachers have a whole lot more to do than twiddle our thumbs. And stay very busy. But I've got to have that prayer time and Bible reading time. And when I don't have that, I know I'm really miserable. But the busier you are, really, here's the truth of it, the busier you are, the more time you need in the Word of God in prayer. That may sound like a contradiction, but it really isn't. Especially the busier you are in God's work. You need that time for prayer and the Word. And some people are saying, well, I'm just wore out. I'm just tired all the time. Now, if that's the case, you don't have any kind of spiritual problems, or you're reading your Bible and you're walking with the Lord and you have your prayer time and all that, you may just need to go to a doctor and let him see what's wrong with you physically, because that could be the problem. But sometimes that isn't a problem at all. What do you think about the most? What troubles you the most? You keep your mind on all that all the time. One of the things I have to fight all the time, I confess to you, is I want to save America and save the whole world. I want to get rid of the liberals, and I want to put the conservatives in there. And if they'd let me, I'd shoot all the liberals and give all the conservatives a raise. You know, sort of. Let's don't carry that too far now. But I mean, I am tempted to want to do, you know, to do that. And some of you are too, obviously. But, and sometimes I feel like carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders, and I'm thinking, why doesn't somebody do something? Why can't we do something? What's wrong here? But you know what? God's not disturbed at all. He's sitting from his throne watching his sovereign plan be carried out. Now, I think we ought to try to do right, and I think we ought to vote for the right people, and I think you ought to vote and all that stuff. But when you've done your best, don't try to take all those pressures to bed with you, because you're not going to solve the world's problem, and I'm not either. I wish I could solve the problem in Iraq. I can't do it. Nobody else, it seems like, is going to do it until God intervenes and there's a change, whatever God's will is. But what troubles you the most? What are you worried about? Here's the third thing. You feel burned out? What do you need to do? Go back to the basics in your spiritual life. You begin to feel burned out. And anybody that's been in the ministry, Dr. Harris would tell you, Dr. Patterson, Brother King, anybody else that's been in the ministry would tell you there are those times, even in the ministry. And Brother Dane, it's too early for you to get to burnout yet, but deputation work, it doesn't take too long, does it? When you're calling pastors and it's hard to get into them and all of that, you missionaries and evangelists wouldn't know anything about that. But us pastors, we have all this pressure on us trying to figure out where we're going to get the money to support all these people. And how can we do it? And it's a burden that we have. But I'm just saying that we have to go back to the basics in our life when we face those things. What do you mean? Well, I've already touched on it, but go back to God's Word. That's basic. Isn't that basic? How many people are leaving the basics? Go back to God's Word. Go back to prayer. And here's another thing, and that is good fellowship with other Christians. You know, that'll help you out if you'll have good Christian friends and good fellowship. That's an important thing to do. And especially if you want to have that, get in a good church that's doing something and get involved in that church, and you're going to meet some folks in the group that you're working with. Maybe it's a choir, maybe it's a bus ministry, maybe it's teachers and teachers meeting or whatever it may be, and you'll get to know some folks and have good Christian fellowship with them, and that'll encourage you in the work of God. Christian fellowship is important. You cannot, if you get in a church and hide in the corner, you're probably going to burn out somewhere along the way. But if you'll get busy and serve the Lord and find something to do, whatever it is. We were visiting a family, Carolyn and I, last night, and I believe they're going to join from what they said. And they said, the wife says, we want to get busy. We want to do something. I like that. And I think they'll jump in and they'll get busy like many of you who have joined in the last while and gotten busy serving the Lord. If you're too tired for God's Word and prayer and going to church and fellowship with God's people, then you ought to, I think the next step ought to be examine your priorities. Examine your priorities. That's not a bad thing to do about once a year, maybe more than New Year's, maybe more than that, but what are your priorities? If you had to list your priorities tonight, what would you put number one, number two, number three? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. Now that ought to be number one. And that ought to always be the very thing that drives us in our life in the right way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, walk in his will, and all these other things that we worry about all the time will be added to us. They'll be placed there. Fourthly, decide rather to do only what God requires. And that may seem a little different to some folks, but we need to do only what God requires and not try to push ourselves to the demands that God never expected out of us. Some of us act like we're in the Barnum and Bailey circus trying to jump through hoops for God. And if we don't jump through enough, we feel like God's not pleased and God's not happy and God's mad at us and God's not going to bless us. And again, I'm not talking about lazy Christians and people who don't do the will of God, but I'm talking about people who serve the Lord. Sometimes If we're not troubled emotionally and there's a physical problem, that could be it. Or we still go through all of that and the doctor says nothing's wrong with you there, and spiritually you're working and serving for the Lord. I think I have seen some people, and it's hard for a Baptist preacher to say this, but I think I've seen some people in God's work overextend themselves. I've seen missionaries do that. Evangelists do it. I know a number of my peers that have done that, and they've gotten themselves in trouble. I've heard some great men of God say, I know one man right now, if I call his name, most of you'd know him, and I heard him say one time, I take one hour nap every day. I go in, and I think that's a great Spanish tradition. Amen. Take a one hour nap every day. I don't do that all the time, but he said the reason I do that is I can put in 8 hours, take a good nap. And he said no matter where I am, motel room, he speaks all over the country, all over the world, busy schedule and all of that. And he says I take a 1 hour nap. When I get up, I can put another 8 hours in and feel refreshed, and I don't go to sleep on the platform when I'm speaking. I've seen times when I was at a national conference and the preachers that were going to preach next sitting up there, and they were dozing, just giving her that, you know. I don't know that that's good advertisement, but at any rate, we may be doing too much sometimes. You know, even Christ, think about this, even Christ, on occasions, numerous occasions, we don't know half of it, would go off by himself, away from the crowd, and rest. He would do that. And I think sometimes he would take his disciples, the apostles, with him to do the very same thing. I think in our pressed society and in our sort of our rat race today, that we feel like that if we're not doing something all the time, we can't be spiritual. Sometimes we need to just get alone and be quiet with God, and sometimes we just need to shut up and listen to him. God says, be still and know that I'm the Lord. Sometimes that's hard for us to do. So wait, I got to be doing something. I got to be going. I got to be blowing. I got to get out here and hit the interstate 70 miles an hour and hope I don't get a ticket at 75 or 80 and roll down through there. By the way, where's Madeline? You passed me today. You right on down that interstate. You know why? The king's business requires haste. Amen? Jehu had a fast chariot. Amen? But sometimes we just need to get along and get quiet. Get alone without anybody else. Just get alone and get quiet and relax a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I believe God allows feelings of frustration and burnout, both of those things, frustration and burnout in our lives because he really wants to teach us some lessons. He allows those things to come. He says, I want your attention. I want to teach you something. I want you to listen to me. One, we're trying to do more than he requires. Number two, our priorities are out of order. Number three, not putting him first. I'm saying he allows us to get frustrated and burn out so we can come back to these things, and even trying to do too many good things at the same time. God will allow us to do it, but sometimes he has to bring us to that place. And I know there are a lot of preachers that make fun of burnout and they say there's no such thing and all that. I've lived long enough to see it. I've lived long enough to know it. And I believe that potential, that possibility, I should say it that way, is out there for people to have spiritual burnout. And I know some of the things that I as a pastor have gone through. If you're worn out, if you're tired tonight, let me talk about around five things very quickly. One, back off of all you're doing and reappraise your life. Back off of all you're doing for a little while and reappraise your life. That may mean taking a day, doing nothing, and just thinking and praying and fasting. It may mean, you didn't hear me say this, it may mean not being in your home church one weekend and going somewhere for that weekend and getting alone, you and your wife maybe, and God, and praying and fasting and saying to God, what are our priorities? Are they right? Show us. How do we change it? What do we do? We're just experiencing this tiredness, this burnout, all of these things. Then I think it's a good thing to list everything you're doing. And that takes a little discipline. It's not real hard. List all you're doing. And as you list the things that you're doing, list how much time it takes for all those activities. You might be surprised where you're spending your time. Do an analysis of your time. That's not a bad thing. I'm going to tell you where a lot of us are spending a lot of our time. Maybe not you, but I find that as I listen, as I observe, as I hear, it's with all the media we got, all that stuff out there. We spend a lot of time with television and videos and DVDs and whatever they are, all those other things, iPods and D-pods and C-pods, whatever they are, all that stuff. I'm about techno brain fried, you know, in these days, but we let all that stuff come in our lives, and we don't have the right priorities, and you'll be surprised sometimes where you're spending your time. Also evaluate how much personal energy you're spending with those activities. Some activities are much harder on you emotionally and spiritually than other activities. And I can tell you that 30 minutes of what I'm doing tonight, psychiatrists have proven this, psychologists, psychiatrists, drains you equal to 8 hours of digging a ditch. And isn't it strange, all these people that think the ministry is easy don't get in the ministry? Oh, I know, they say, God hadn't called me. Well, you better stay out if God hadn't called you, because you'll never make it. And that's true at the end. That's not a brag. That's just a reality. But standing publicly, you see, you get to weigh everything I'm saying. I'm looking at all of you and wondering, what are they thinking? Do they like what I'm saying? Or is it going to help them? Am I wasting their time? Did I prepare well enough? I did my best. Is it going to be a blessing? Are they going to think this is psychology and pop psychology? Or are they going to take it as something from the Lord that will help them out in their lives? And I get out, get through with all this, and get in the car and drive home and think about all that all the way home usually. You say, that's not a good practice. I know it, and I'm trying to break the habit. But there are a lot of things you can do that tax you and drain you depending on what you do. And if you do too much of it, you're going to drain yourself down to where you're not going to be able to do what you ought to do. Another thing I think we ought to do is look for trends and patterns in our lives. What do you mean? Well, I mean we ought to look at it and see if we're balanced in our lives. See if we have a balance. A balanced Christian life is not a bad idea. A balanced Christian life is not a bad idea. Do we have good mental and physical activities? I think it's good to keep your brain stimulated and to read some good literature and to view some good materials and stay in the Word and get you some good books. Get them at a conservative bookstore where they don't have a bunch of junk. And or if you don't know for sure, ask your pastor or Brother Ridgeby or somebody, and we can give you a list of some good books to read. It'll help you out. Come in our library and look it over. That's fine. We have some good books in our church library. But I think we ought to have the mental stimulation and the physical activities, and then it ought to include spiritual activities. Does it include spiritual activities? Does it also include proper rest and proper playtime? We need some playtime. We need some rest time. And I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we're trying to please everybody. You know, when I first got in the pastorate, I thought that I would please everybody, Brother Allen. I thought, man, I'll be the exception to all the rules. I will please everybody. I'll do my best. I'm such a kind-hearted, nice, likable guy that I'll please everybody. It took me about a week to find out that wasn't the way it was going to work. And I like to please people, and I like to make people like me, and I love people, but I cannot please everybody all the time. There's no way. There's no way. In fact, I'll either preach not quite long enough tonight, or maybe a little too long for some of you. But you can't please everybody all the time. There's no way to do it. And I'll admit it still bothers me some, but I've tried to pretty well give up the idea there's no way you're going to please everybody. Just enjoy being in the ministry. Get up and preach, do your best, and let God handle all those results. And every once in a while, somebody will pout and get mad and leave or whatever. And some people just are led of the Lord to leave, and that's fine. But you just can't worry about all that stuff. You just got to keep on going. Keep on serving God and doing what God tells you to do. And that's true in your Sunday school class. That's true in your ministry, where you're working, whatever it may be. And it's not just the pastorate I'm referring to, but it's all areas of our life. You cannot please everybody, so don't try to. Then ask God to show you. Pray. Say, God, show me what is important. You know, we only have one life. It will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Amen? Man, I used to hear that and I thought, that's pretty catchy. Now I think, man, that's a fact. That is a truth. And somebody was telling me, Brother Steve Erlewine, he said, he was speaking in chapel and I introduced him at the seminary. And he said, Brother Weaver, I've been on the field 10 years. I said, 10 years? Some of you, just like you said, wow, we cannot believe that. Time gets away. So what are you doing? What is important to you? Where do you spend most of your time? Where could you spend more time? Where could you spend less time? What are some activities you could drop? I was president of the Independent Baptist Fellowship International 3 years, and boy, you talk about pressure, pressure, pressure. There's nothing in the world any harder than trying to please 500 or 600 bullheaded preachers, strong-willed preachers. They're leaders by nature. And that's sort of their temperament and their personality. You ought to try to do that. But after about 3 years, I decided my church was a little more important to me than that. And I gave them my resignation. Now, that sort of hurt my pride a little bit. I sort of wanted to stay president, but I thought, no, it is best for me, my wife, and my family, and the church that I resign from that. And I recommended my worst enemy to go in and... No. Brother Chuck Weatherby, not really. And he was in about 3 years. But I told Brother Riggs the other day, he was lining up the seminary courses for the next semester. I said, leave me out. Just leave me out. I said, I've got some other priorities. I'm not getting things done like I want to get done. And I won't miss the pay a bit, because they don't pay me a dime. They don't pay you anything. They used to, and then things got tight, but that's all right. I love investing in young men and women in their lives, but I just feel like at this point in our church, in my life, I had to say, you get somebody else to teach another course. Maybe next first semester of next year, that'll be all right. Brother Patterson, honestly, the reason I'm not coming to Cuernavaca is not money, and it's not because I don't love you. I hope you got that email, by the way. If not, you just found out. The reason I'm not coming to that conference this year, I'm just overloaded. And I knew I had to cut something somewhere, and I know you'll understand that. If not, you'll have to ask God to forgive me and you both. But at any rate, I know you understand that, and I know you understand schedules. But somewhere you just have to do that. And I've made up my mind that in order to get some things done that I want to do, and I'm going to have to cut some things, and God clearly showed me to do that, and I have dropped some of those things and a few others. And then let God take control and give Him the responsibility. If we could ever learn that in the ministry, if we could learn that, give God the control and let Him take the responsibility. We're always competing against ourselves and all other pastors and all other churches and all of their numbers and all of their results and all of those things. Missionaries go through it. You got to give that report. You got to have so many saved. If not, the preachers might cut you. You go through all that pressure. Listen, give God, just let God be in control, and then He can be responsible for the results. And those are hard lessons to learn, and by the time I think I've learned them, the devil tempts me again, and I have to deal with it, but we need to do that. And then address your emotional baggage, whatever it is. We all have some emotional baggage, bad self-image, guilt, some of those things we've already addressed. And we have some emotional baggage, some especially, I think, if you're a perfectionist by nature, if you want to win, and maybe it's because of your childhood, where you live, the way you were raised, and you feel like you've got to meet this certain level to be appreciated, to be loved, for your peers to look up to you. We need to forget all that junk. If God is pleased, we'll be pleased. And if my worth to you is the car I drive or the house I live in or the money I have in the bank or whether or not I wear JCPenney or Hickey Freeman suits, then, my dear friend, you've got a problem. I don't have the problem. I'm not gonna let that kind of pressure mess up my life by the grace of God. We want approval from everybody. It has a lot to do with the way we're raised, maybe our kinfolks, maybe daddy didn't take time with you or mama didn't or whatever it may be. But we've got to leave that in the hands of God. So when you feel burned out, sometimes you need to just rest, get away, take a long break, mend your body, mend your heart, let God heal your heart. Secondly, ask God to help you trust Him more. God, help me to trust you more. Turn over the authority to Him and leave the responsibility to Him. What was it Greyhound used to say? Something about getting on the bus and leave the driving to us or something. That's what we need to do with God. Do our best, yes. And don't feel like you've got to jump. God loves you. You don't have to jump through hoops all the time to make God love you. He loves you. He loves you even when you fail Him, just like a parent loves their children. They may fail them. You don't quit loving them. You don't. If you demand that they're jumping through hoops and you're saying, if you don't make A's, I won't love you, and if you don't do this and achieve that, I won't love you, that's not Christ-like. That's not biblical. I mean, if a C's all they can come up with, bless the Lord, let them come up with a C. I don't think you ought to be lazy. I think you ought to work them hard and get the best out of them. But I'm just saying, we need to ask God to help us to trust Him more and leave the responsibility to Him. Admit you're responsible for burnout tendencies. Many times it's my fault and your fault that we reach that point of burnout. It's our fault. And we just have to admit it to God and get on our knees and say, God, I am to blame. I realize I'm the one that is to blame. Then ask God how to get rid of that emotional baggage. He'll help you do that if you'll do it. Whatever drives you, whatever makes you want that approval and all of that. And then just simply say, God, please heal me. Please heal me physically. Please heal me emotionally. And help me to get my heart right with you spiritually.